In the studio with me this morning, lovely to see them again. We just catch up now with somebody and somebody else from the Museum of Cambridge.
Shelley Lockwood.
Yes, the curator.
Hilary Cox-Conrad.
Of course, I know who you are. How could we not know who you are? The Cambridge History Festival was celebrating the city and county heritage with the Museum of Cambridge. It took place now last month because we're into March. Mm-hmm. I welcome them both back. They're one of our fairly regular sort of slotted in people, the pair of them. Lovely to see you again. How are you doing today?
Thank you.
Hilary, we'll get you in on one of these microphones here.
Shall I slide over?
A little shuffle around there. That's it, because you've only sort of arrived in the last few minutes. Anyway, so where you are, of course, you're in this. I love, by the way, latest little image I've seen of your 17th century timber framed coaching inn, of course, is on Northampton Street. On one side, you've got the Northampton Street face, where you've got it looking very modern, as it is today. And someone has been very clever with a black and white image and put the original Lacon's pub, which is the brewery, which has been served. And it says Yarmouth Ales as well. I didn't realise Lacon's brewery was Yarmouth Ales.
Yes.
And you've got that on the other side as well.
That's right. Steve Lintott, who did a very clever Photoshop merge of an old black and white photo, as you say, with a recent one, and it's gorgeous. And we're going to try and do more of those around Cambridge, because it's fascinating to see the layers, and because so many buildings have changed use, especially old pubs, that we can and try and do more of that to see both at the same time.
Original servery hatch inside. If anybody has ever been to the Cambridge Museum, well, the Museum of Cambridge, if you haven't, you must go. It used to be the Folk Museum. We should tell some listeners who've been in Cambridge for a number of years to remember it as that. But yeah, you've got a little area where the jugs of ale were probably being handed out. I think there were just about draft pumps.
Yes, there were. Well,
technology.
We've still got some. Yes.
That's right.
Yes, we have.
Can we pull them?
No, we probably can't. Our collections officer, Charlotte, would probably not approve if we started pulling the hand pumps now.
Started fiddling around with the artefacts in the
building.
But
they look great. They are the real thing.
Polished brass.
Yes.
With great big wooden spindle handles as
well. Yes, and as part of the History Festival, of course, we had a camera, the Campaign for Real Ale came in, and we had a beer tasting, an ale tasting session in the museum, which was always one of the most popular events of the History Festival.
Any excuse for a few jars.
A few jars, yes.
And I thought you were just all about teas and cakes, you see.
Oh, not always.
I thought you knew us.
Yeah, this is on a Friday afternoon, and it's sort of you go into the purveying a little bit of alcohol.
Oh, in the evening we have wine and beer. All sorts.
You let your hair down. I know it's been actually one of the events that has taken place in the Cambridge History Festival. Broad question, but how did it go?
It went extremely well. It's our biggest and best to date. It's the third Cambridge History Festival run by the museum, and we have more events than ever, more tickets sold than ever, and the feedback has been fantastic, and we're just going through that now, because you can imagine we've literally just come to an end, and we will use that to plan for the next one.
Hilary and Shelley, there's just the two of you here, right? But I mean, I've asked you before, I think, do you have an army of people help you with this? Because it's a big event now.
Army may be a slight exaggeration. We have a very small staff, but we have a large number of volunteers who help out. So there's six of us on staff, all part-time, but there's a behind that there are the trustees and the volunteers, which probably amount to about 20, 30 more people, and they obviously everyone gets called in to steward and help for the History Festival.
There must be a few extra days off work from normal paid jobs for some people who come in as volunteers to give you a hand with these things. We've been featuring you on the What's Ons over the last couple of 3 weeks, of course, since
Thank
the
you.
Event started. One of them was using tapers in wax as well. You're getting children to come in. A couple of sessions you had on an evening.
Yes, we had a twilight. That was a twilight at the museum's event. Fantastically popular, wonderful evening making candles in the museum, which was just brilliant.
There's about 400 people, I think, came along. It's really busy in there, yeah.
Yes.
Really successful.
400 people in your own museum?
Yes.
Obviously not all at once.
No, we had a ticketing system, and people went through and experienced the museum at night, which was part of the idea.
And also, of course, had the Illuminate. Oblique Arts did a piece of animated artwork using our seotropes as inspiration, and the animations from there, which they projected onto the side of our building as part of the Illuminate Festival. And we've had LGBT History Month as well, so we've really been incredibly busy.
Yeah.
Seotropes, you'll have to tell me, Hilary, what they are, just so someone's uninitiated.
form of, it was like the first way of, oh, I'm gesticulating, which isn't the right thing to do on radio, is it? It's an early animation system where you have a barrel which you have a series of illustrations in with slight movement like you would for an animation, and you spin it very fast, and it works much like a flip book would, so that as you turn it round, the images all merge together.
Oh, is it like the Victorians, so they put it in a cylinder, a bit like the galloping horse that goes round and around and around.
Exactly.
Well, it's called a zoetrope. That's what it's called.
I didn't know that.
And you look through the slits and you get the effect of a flick book.
And you have to look through a very precise little slit to see this happening. And you see the very first sort of Victorian... it was a mechanism that led us to see the very first animation of
exactly
a figure.
That. So we have them in the museum, and they're hands-on, so people can come in and play with them and try different illustrations in there, the strips of illustrations, to use them. And a Bleak Art, some of the artists from Bleak Art... put together this animation, which was projected onto the side of the building. So
what I like is how you...
Going on.
Yeah. I mean, the Illuminate Festival was sort of there and then gone tomorrow. It seemed so short. But it is really capturing the attention of people of Cambridge.
It's a wonderful way to see it differently. I think it's lovely.
Yeah, beautiful.
The Senate House, the Shire Hall this year as well, was lit up as well. And the LGBT flag, well, that was taken down yesterday for the very last
time,
for the end of February. But as part of Cambridge History Festival, you had Nadine Anderson coming in, and she was doing a willow platter as well with the kids. I love the way you are interactive with children and families as well.
Yes, and we really like the idea of keeping the traditions, traditional crafts alive, and the sorts of tales that would have been told and exchanged through the generations whilst doing crafts, like weaving or lace making or corn dollies or whatever it is. And so it's all very much part of that rural tradition that a lot of the collection is representing. And we've got a new project called Tracing Traditions doing that, haven't we?
And you're right, Shirley, that's a really nice thing to say about not just the actual physical making, but the conversations that go on whilst you're doing it and gathering together.
I think it's really important. And there's been a revival of that. We've had all of these knitter-natter type groups of knitters coming together to talk and so on. I think it's a really... often overlooked aspect of social life and social history.
You've got a nice little resource there. We've spoken of it before, the Enid Porter Room, which I guess is where a lot of these events occur.
Yes.
You could probably do with a little bit more space, couldn't anyone, really? And you've kind of grown into it and maybe almost grown out of it, but you haven't really got that much room left, what with the courtyard that you have as well, to really sort of expand out.
No, we do. So that's why we do spend, Hilary and I spend a lot of our time, particularly in the last year, taking the museum out to other people as well. So going to as many community events and working collaboratively with other groups and using their spaces.
So reach out and pop up, really, sort of thing.
A lot of that. We do that a lot.
How did you just pop up here? Just a couple of minutes before going on air. Where have you been then with this sort of pop-up type of concept so far?
Over the year, we did Strawberry Fair, we did Cherry Hinton Festival, we're going to do Arbury Festival, aren't we?
Yes.
So a lot of those.
It's 40 years of Arbury Carnival this June, and so we're doing a whole series of events leading up to that to gather memories of the last four decades in Arbury, with a view to having an exhibition at the carnival in June this year.
The Arbury Estate is now 40 years old. In fact, last year it was. And you've still got people, of course, living there who moved in, took the keys to occupancy of the various council houses and on the estate 40 years ago, still living there, having raised their family, probably grandparents now. But
exactly.
Around the King's Edges area.
Yeah,
so
you remember
lots,
all the farmland and
that's right,
the hatcheries and
of course the orchards. And back in World War II, there were lots of munition sidings off the old Cambridge to St Ives line. So where we've now got the guided busway. I don't remember that. I'm way too young. But they do tell me that World War II, when the Americans got involved with the war effort from 1941 onwards, a whole sort of myriad of railway sidings are built there, and munitions trains would come in day and night with bombs, ammunition.
Tanks
all
were
there.
Repaired, I think, as well. Tanks were brought in.
Probably brought in by rail.
To be repaired there as well.
Some people can still remember that.
Yes, well, hopefully they'll come along and tell us.
Yeah, exactly. We want to gather memories all the time, as we say, every time that we're here. And actually, our website, our social history map of Cambridge, Capturing Cambridge, so www.capturingcambridge.org. If you go on there, we had 100 posts, not that long ago, was it? Just at the beginning
of last year? Yeah, about a year ago, it was 100 articles, 100 posts.
And we have over 1,000 now.
Yep.
And you look for anything pictorial as well? So not just are you looking for voices in terms of memories, but do you look for...
There are many different ways to record, yeah.
Yes.
So sometimes voices, sometimes people's personal collections, sometimes old photographs, reminiscences, paperwork about a building. There's all sorts of different ways to collect the memories and local history.
You'll do a digital scan of the photographs that are provided to you, so you can then...
That's right, so we can return them. So the owners can keep the original, and we can use the digital copy on the website to share with everyone.
I'm glad it's gone so well. I saw children out with their torches during the museums at twilight event, which meant a lot of museums on the depth. We've got obviously the Whipple Museum and the Sedgwick Museum and everything that
we are very lucky in Cambridge. Inside. Yeah,
and the fact the university will throw open their doors, which is something they've done in more recent years actually, because it was very sort of institutional and slamming the doors shut. Varsity would not meet town, would not Gown would stay inside, but nowadays there is just so much reaching out to.
There is, and we're very proud that we can bridge that gap, really, because we've always been a town museum, hence renaming it the Museum of Cambridge. That was one of the reasons behind doing that, to show that we are the only museum in Cambridge that tells the story of Cambridge people, including the university, but only as a part of the whole.
Interestingly, sorry, I didn't mean to give you a look that said a lot to say to me. We were saying about LGBT History Month, and we've been collecting a lot of stories and memories for that, and we'll go onto our website, and also have been in the community cabinet. But something that came out of that, from people reminiscing about where people used to drink or go to clubs, was that there wasn't that town and gown divide in the LGBT community. And I think that was quite an interesting thing that came up, wasn't it?
It was.
Things have changed, certainly, for the better, ladies.
Yes.
So we've also can quickly plug the tea room, which is open on a Saturday as well.
It is a Sunday.
If expanded out a bit. So you've got volunteers to help you with that, to serve you a nice piece of cake. And you don't necessarily have to get museum admission.
No, you don't. You can just come to the tea room if you'd like to come to the
tea
room.
And the same as for our shop. If you just want to go and look in our shop and buy something there, we've got lots of beautiful local crafts.
Lovely cards.
So again, you don't have to visit the museum, go into the museum to actually go and do a shop.
Artifacts are always changing. If you want to go to the museum, it's £4, isn't it, for adults?
Yes. Children under 12 are free, and there's a £2 concession for students and over 65.
And coming up in the next few weeks, having a bit of rest, I guess, from what you have been doing. With wax and wicker baskets and everything else that went all around that. But have you got some other major featuring events going on?
Yeah,
in the next
we
few
do
days?
Have. Well, the thing about the LGBT history, this weekend is our last weekend of the exhibition that we have in our community cabinet. And then on Monday, we'll be putting up a new exhibition called Just Another Human Being, which is a series of photographs and stories by photographer and writer Mary Humphrey, exploring and sharing stories of the transgender experiences that she's been gathering and documenting. So that's very interesting. On the 7th of March, on the Tuesday in the evening, she'll be giving a talk about how she, her process. It's an inside stories talk. So the process of collecting the stories and sharing those photographs and stories. That's a free event.
It's seven o'clock on the 7th.
Yeah.
And if you want to book a space, you just email capturingcambridge@museumofcambridge.org.uk. But it's best to go on our Facebook page to look at all the events. That's
lots
the easiest
there.
Way. And then we've got Rick's Radical Mugs.
Oh, yeah.
Rick's Radical Mugs. I'm assuming we're not talking
are you
about
a
people.
Mug?
We're talking about coffee mugs here.
We are.
Ladies.
We are talking about a wonderful collection of, I think it's about 600,
isn't it?
Yeah. 600 slogan mugs, political slogan mugs that. Local resident Rick has collected over the years, and we're getting him to display them. So it's one of our local curators, as guest curators in the community cabinet, and he will display a selection of the 600 mugs in the community cabinet and around the museum. And they are wonderful.
We had a sneaky peek, haven't we?
They're wonderful.
And they really, take you back to... this is the thing about objects, isn't it? About how they can transport you and spark memories and shared experiences. And, you know, there'll be a lot of conversations going on around the radical mugs, we think.
Absolutely. Yeah. I spotted three or four I definitely used to have and made the mistake of putting in a dishwasher. But, you know, anti-apartheid, Free Nelson Mandela, the miners' strike. So many memories come back when you see these slogans and things that you just had in your kitchen back in the day. So we're hoping that's going to be a very popular
like the
exhibition.
I'm Backing Britain campaign.
Exactly. All
that sort of thing.
All
do you remember
of
that, ladies, from a certain time without getting into, obviously, into the politics, but remember that one as well when everyone was being particularly patriotic back in the 1960s. Yes. How far back did some of his mugs go then?
Well, there is an international collection. He's going to select ones that are more particularly relevant to Cambridge and also to issues that are close to his heart, which are mostly human rights issues. But they go back. I think he has also got a couple of historical ones. He's got a mug celebrating VE Day, for example, on the piece.
Yes.
So things like that. So there's a few going back further, but mostly they are that era of the political mug, 60s to 80s, really.
That definitely doesn't want to go in the dishwasher.
No.
Absolutely.
No, quite.
Look after it with kid gloves, I'd imagine, as well. Ladies, this is about all we have time for. Just to point people to the website, if they're interested in finding out more about the Capturing Cambridge project, it is capturingcambridge, all one word, .org, and of course go on Facebook as well.
Yeah, our Museum of Cambridge Facebook.
Yes.
We'll be posting lots of events on
It's all been happening
all
and it's all
it.
Still to happen.
It's wonderful. Can we also just say thank you to the City Council for funding us for another year? We've heard that we are going to be funded by them to carry on for another year with Capturing Cambridge, which
Terrific.
Is wonderful.
And of course, your neighbours next door will be bursting into life as
they
well.
Will. Yep, they will.
For the Kettles Yard Gallery.
Yes. Exactly.
So that's all sorts of new
it's
opportunities.
Looking forward to working
for
with
all
them.
Of you.
Yes.
Terrific. Come back again and let us. It's always just so busy with the parents bustling along like two ladies doing the shopping in the aisle.
We are very
busy.
Two ladies doing shopping.
Always gathering everything.
I feel just stop on your head.
Yes, I'm not sure I'm ahead anymore. But anyway, thank you very much for coming.
Thank
it's
you.
Always
Thanks,
lovely
Phil.
To see you.
Thank
Fantastic.
You very
and we'll
much.
Probably
bye.
See you next month without too much Great. Of an April Fool going on. I think.
No, hopefully not.
Thanks
bye
very
bye.
Much.
Thank
bye
you,
bye.
Bye.